Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fregonio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Throughout history, civilizations have become more sophisticated in the efficient management of water resources. Advancements in civil and hydraulic engineering works such as dams, channels, levees, aqueducts, and water wells play a key role in the success and development of ancient civilizations and empires. Nowadays, hydraulic works remain central for water management purposes to fulfill the most basic human needs. Dams provide numerous benefits, including water for food production and human consumption, recreation activities, transportation, flood control, and even electricity, but are far from perfect. In fact, dams have changed the face of the earth. For example, the abrupt flooding of land areas have displaced an estimated of 80 million people, most of them coming from ethnic and marginalized groups, having a negative influence on their cultural identity and ecological footprint. Furthermore, the transformation of the landscape of downstream areas have also influenced the lives of approximately 500 million people. Does instant economic growth produced by hydropower dams justify the environmental and societal ramifications? Should countries go all in for hydropower production of renewable energy instead of solar and wind power? Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Le Carpentier Théo and I will be your host for today. In today's show, we will talk about hydroelectric energy pros and cons. Francisco, good afternoon.
Hello everybody. I'm very excited to be back in Radio Fónica and of course with all our friends around the world. I'm delighted to introduce you to our new member, Theo, a young French professional in the sustainable development field. For the next few months, he will share keynotes about his passion and his volunteer work on the topic in the French Riviera. Welcome.
Merci, Francesco, for the opportunity. I would like to start the show with a simple question. How does hydroelectric power work? How do we get electricity from water?
I got an idea!
A dam is a barrier built across a stream or river that holds back the water to generate electricity. On the bottom of the dam, there is a gate called intake that allows the water to flow towards the river. When it opens, the water flows inside the penstock, that is a channel or pipe that conveys the water until it reaches the turbine. The turbine is propelled as a result of the flow speed before it discharges into the river. Got it?
Can you explain it again?
Okay, let me make myself clear. Easy. Think about the bathroom sink.
Okay.
The pop-up does not allow the water to go away, so the sink is full.
Okay.
Good. The sink is the dam. Now, when you release the strap, the water goes through the pop-up flange, the intake, and flows inside the tube, the penstock. The water moves downstream, and before reaching the P-trap, the lowest point of the tube, there is a turbine that starts spinning because of the water speed. Finally, the water keeps flowing until it reaches the waste pipe, the river. Capito?
For now on, every time I look at the sink, I'm going to think about hydropower energy. It wasn't that hard.
I haven't finished. The shaft from the turbine is connected to the generator, which converts the mechanical energy, the energy of flowing water, into electricity. The higher the difference in water level between the dam, water elevation, and the downstream outflow, the faster the water will go and the more electricity will generate.
I think it's all clear now. Moving on, I'm quite curious about the rise of hydroelectric plants in the world.
We need to look back on time. The first hydroelectric plant opened on the Fox River in Wisconsin in 1882, followed by Grand Rapids, Ottawa, and the Niagara Falls. All were used to supply meals and light for buildings. A few years later, the hydropower technology spread to other geographical locations, including Germany, Australia, and China. From the 1960s through the 1980s, large hydropower developments were carried out in Canada, the USSR, and Latin America. Today, the world leaders in hydropower are Brazil and China. The Itaipu Dam is in second place, located on the Paraná River at the border between Brazil and Paraguay, with an installed capacity of 14,000 megawatts. In other words, the Itaipu hydroelectric facility supplies about 17% of Brazil's energy consumption and 72% of the energy consumed in Paraguay. Number one is the Three Gorges in China, with a total of 22,500 megawatts, supplying power to 9 provinces and 2 cities, including Shanghai.
And what about Italy?
Hydroelectricity is currently in 4th place of electric energy production, below wind, sun, geothermal and fossil fuel. In fact, it has remained almost the same since the 1950s. The biggest hydroelectric Italian plant is the Entraque, located about 2 hours away from Turin and Nice, producing about 1,300 megawatts, a tenth of the Itaipu Dam.
Interesting. Can you tell us more about the advantages of hydroelectric energy compared to the other renewable energies, such as solar or wind?
We have to take into consideration that technological advancements over the past decade in solar panels and wind turbines have contributed to their expansion in the market today. 100 years ago, it was a completely different story. Nevertheless, all renewable energies share the same principles: are steady, flexible, safe, and green. Renewable because the water cycle ensures the continuous circulation of water throughout the Earth. Steady, countries with vast water resources use hydroelectric power in their advantage to produce electricity at a constant rate. The dams are designed to last many decades and so contribute to the generation of electricity for many years. Flexible. If electricity is not needed, the gates can be shut and the water can be saved for another time when electricity demand is high. Safe. Compared among other fossil fuels and nuclear energy, hydroelectricity does not involve fuel other than water. And last but not least, it's green, does not produce CO2 emissions.
Now it's time to go to listen to my voice and then 20. We will be back very soon in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More.
Hi, my name is Jean Monti. I am a French hydraulics engineer from Strasbourg Environment and Water National Engineering School, ENGES, and an apprentice in the SM3A, a public river planning organization specific to the Arve watershed river in the French Alps. Arve river is characterized by a very mountainous landscape as it runs from Chamonix at the foot of the Mont Blanc mountain and meets the Rhône river in Switzerland near Geneva after 107 kilometers. The SM3A's main missions are to prevent or mitigate flood damages and to preserve wetlands and ecological functionalities of the river. Both problematics are strongly linked, therefore our ultimate purpose is to work toward the natural regulation of the river. Some of the guidelines are, well, first to leave space to the river and reconnect it to its floodplains, which creates a good environment to the development of local biodiversity and slows down the water during a flood, decreasing the risk. And secondly, to restrict the extraction of solid materials such as gravels and sands from the river. The overexploitation of this strategic resource used to make concrete leads to a deepening of rivers, destabilizing bridges and embankments, and disconnecting wetlands and altering natural habitats. Floods and wetlands management is a very sensitive matter in the Arve Valley because it affects urban planning and the space is limited due to the presence of mountains. This is why we carry out studies that extensively resort to digital hydraulic modeling and geographic information system, GIS. This information is critical for our elected officials to make effective decisions and needed for campaigns to explain the science behind our tidal river management approach. You can find SM3A's social media platforms and more information about river management on the show webpage. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. I believe Jen topic relates to the 2018 United Nations World Water Development Report, Nature-Based Solution, right?
That's correct. In my opinion, the MBS approach focuses on nature reconnecting with nature and its processes without human intervention. For example, imagine there is a project proposal on building a new residential development near the floodplain. Leaving a space to rivers to reconnect with the floodplains may not be as attractive to the city in financial terms as compared to the investment and economic profits. But in the long term, I believe will bring more benefits than drawbacks to the area, such as the decrease of the flooding, improvements in local biodiversity, and environmental resilience.
Strasbourg is on the right path for climate change adaptation and environmental protection. Now, what are the cons of hydroelectric power?
Without a doubt, environmental damage. Obstructions of the natural water flow may influence fish and other species to migrate or seek new food supplies. The risk of local droughts and water scarcity cannot be denied. There is also the remote possibility of dam failure, putting on a threat the lives of people that live in low areas. Then, the building costs are extremely high due to the high quality standards and logistical challenges like location, topography, or lack of materials. When dams are located in the border or influence vast water systems, water diplomacy and transboundary conflict resolution are needed to reach common ground.
So the big question is, which is the best renewable energy?
I will say it depends on the geographical location, the geology, elevation, weather. I mean, all these factors influence the effectiveness of each renewable energy depending on the resources and needs of each country. For instance, solar is good when you have reliable sunshine. Countries closest to the equator and deserts are the big winners. Wind is great for remote offshore locations or plains with low population density. Hydro and geothermal are available in about 1% of the Earth's land area. So, as long as you are there, such as Brazil or Iceland respectively, the conditions are in place to generate electricity.
During the past week, we have talked about the importance of shifting from fossil fuels to renewable energy. The main characteristic of solar panels, wind turbines, and hydroelectric plants, and how they could contribute to achieve the Agenda 2030 on sustainable development.
Next week, we'll talk about two of the biggest non-profit organizations in the world, Greenpeace and National Geographic.
Let us know if you would like to collaborate with us or interested in a particular topic.
Contact us through our social media platforms in Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram as WaterDoc or Francisco Ferreño Peña. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction, Science, and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.